From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
So where are we now, a few months into a pandemic? I don't mean where in a completely literal way, though listeners have told me that they've enjoyed hearing the very raw details of where I'm recording these podcasts. So for what it's worth, I'm currently sitting in my own bedroom closet, holding a microphone, facing a bunch of clothing, and directly next to me is a crib because, yes, as we've had to fit our lives into this new space where we went for the pandemic, our 16-month-old baby has been sleeping in a closet, but don't worry, he doesn't seem to mind, but I digress. So, like I said, where are we now? It's a strange place, isn't it? The pandemic feels like less of a shock to the system these days and more like something we're adapting to. And of course, as that is happening, more massive change is coming in the form of demonstrations nationwide and worldwide for racial equality, which I and so many others hope and believe can bring great and necessary change to everything, business included. And already you're seeing that. You've seen brands and entrepreneurs take many steps to respond, some meaningful, some perhaps just lip service. But the point is, these are times of change, of disruption, which also makes them times of opportunity for people to step up and become leaders. And anyway, none of what I'm saying here will be a surprise to you because this show has been focused so heavily on exactly that, on how entrepreneurs solve problems and remain focused and productive no matter what, no matter the challenge. I've been talking to people for months about that, and it's led me to a question, which is how? Like, how are entrepreneurs able to do this? How do they move from panic to adaptation? How do they remain relentless builders? And then I found someone who had a pretty great answer.
The thing that pulled us in, each one of us into this, is the thing that's going to get us through it.
That's the author David Sachs, whose new book is called The Soul of an Entrepreneur. He sent me an essay, which I loved and published on entrepreneur.com, about how entrepreneurs' core values of risk and freedom also make them so resilient. And it got me thinking about a bigger, broader answer to my question about how entrepreneurs are getting through these times. It's important to know that answer, I think, because it helps us understand who we are and why we are and what we're capable of. So here's what I want to do on this episode of Problem Solvers. First, I'm going to read you my answer to this question, which I wrote in a column that I called Entrepreneurs Are Prepared for Crisis, Whether They Know It or Not. And then after that, I'm going to talk to David Sachs about this in more detail and about the new ways to think about the risk and freedom that you live with. So you ready for that? It's all coming up after the break. The work you do, it matters, no matter where you do it. And boy, don't we know that work these days is happening wherever it can. That is why WebEx provides simple and reliable video communication tools that allow you and your team to connect and collaborate securely. That way, you can take care of business wherever you are. And that word reliable is important, by the way, especially if you're talking about sensitive business. You cannot afford to have some joker hacker show up in your video conference. You can't afford for it to be even a little insecure. That is why heads of state, governments, schools, hospitals, medical providers, and the most trusted brands all use WebEx. It is the choice for secure video conferencing and collaboration. Oh, but also WebEx does host virtual happy hours and weddings too, because hey, hashtag life on WebEx. If you can imagine it, WebEx will build the bridge to get you there, no matter where you are. All right, we're back. So like I said, first I'm going to read you this column that I wrote, this answer to this question that I've had. And afterwards, we're going to talk more with David Sachs. All right, so here it is. I talk to people like you every day. And I keep hearing the same things. Entrepreneurs are making plans. They're revising, adjusting, and striving. It isn't easy. It can feel impossible. Many are making emotionally wrenching decisions and struggling financially, but they are refusing to give up. They know that this isn't the end. They have new ideas and new energy, even during the most draining days of their lives. And this has led me to ask a question. How is it possible? How are entrepreneurs so resilient? Then I came to an answer. It crystallized while I was working with a writer named David Sachs. The pandemic destroyed a lot of his business and struck just as he was about to release a book he'd spent 2 years on. And in an essay for us, he wrote this. This is David. Quote, I had never felt so powerless in my life. For entrepreneurs, all of us who work for ourselves in some capacity, this can feel like the moment we're least prepared for. Most entrepreneurs are underfunded, unsupported, and far too emotionally tied to our businesses to face this alone. But then I realized something. This is also the moment we're most prepared for because we have always been self-directed and forced to survive by being resourceful. We can work from home with children dangling off of our arms in sweatpants and find opportunity where others see none. End quote. That's what David wrote. And that's exactly it. Entrepreneurs always knew that bad things would happen, but that didn't stop them from pursuing their dreams. This sounds simple, but it's not. It's a profound distinction. Many people are afraid of failure, so they never take risks. Many others think they're invincible, so they make reckless decisions. But entrepreneurs are different. Entrepreneurs understand that their road is rocky. They accepted a long, long time ago that nothing good comes easy. It's almost like an emotional immunization. If you know bad things will come, then bad things can't overwhelm you. Think of it. You know that failure is possible, but you're not a pessimist. You know that danger is lurking, but you're not risk averse. You know that the world is uncontrollable, but you'll control what you can. You know that you have to lead, but you also have to serve. You know you're a visionary, but that you also have limitations. You confidently say, I can do that, even when you have absolutely no idea how to do that. Doesn't matter. You know you can figure it out. Entrepreneurship has always required a little craziness and a lot of contradictions. And now, during a global crisis, as our lives and businesses are upended, these contradictions are the things that will save us. So what next? Here's my suggestion. As you face today's massive problems, put them into context for yourself. You are a problem solver. Your job, more than anything else, is to solve problems. It always has been. Sure, today's problems may be bigger and more complex than yesterday's problems, but they're still just problems. They're not magical spells. They're not otherworldly beings. They are the thing you prepared your entire career for, a series of challenges that require a series of solutions. Your toolkit is decisive action, creative thinking, open communication, and a relentless focus on providing value to others. You've done it before. You've done it many times before. And now, as you face this massive challenge, you can say, I can do that, even when you have absolutely no idea how to do that. Doesn't matter. You know you can figure it out. So, okay, that was my column, and I got so much great feedback on that, and I really appreciated it. People saying that they had felt crazy feeling like they could get through this, right? Like they were focused, but they were also looking around and saying, maybe I'm fooling myself. Maybe I can't get through this. Everyone else is panicked. But then these words, this is the reason why I want this kind of message out there, is because, no, you're not crazy. You can do it. You can make your way through. And so afterwards, after I wrote this column, I hopped on the phone. Well, I sent the column to David, who really liked it. And then I hopped on the phone with David because I wanted to talk more about the points that he made and dive deeper into what he was talking about when he said that the things that got us into entrepreneurship are the things that can get us through this moment. So let's talk to David Sachs. But first, one more break. Problem Solvers is brought to you by JustWorks. JustWorks is here to support the small business superheroes working hard to protect their companies and take care of their teams. With simple software and expert support for payroll, benefits, compliance, and HR, JustWorks takes some of the guesswork out of running a business in good times and bad. They know that small business leaders wear many hats, and they're here to help you do it all. With JustWorks, you get seamless tools for managing remote teams and navigating new legislation. This includes scheduling, tracking, and staying compliant with new leave requirements from day one. JustWorks' dedicated team of certified HR consultants can help you navigate the ins and outs of managing remote teams in these challenging times. And should you or your team ever have any questions about your benefits or payroll, you can just call JustWorks anytime. Really, anytime, 11 p.m. on a Sunday, round-the-clock support is standing by. JustWorks is here for those who do it all. Learn more at justworks.com/problem solvers. Again, that is justworks.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. And now, David Sachs. So, David, in that piece that you wrote for us, you said that there are two core truths to being an entrepreneur. And the column that I wrote really just focused on one of them, which was risk, that there is a risk inherent in the path that's been chosen. And so, in a way, an entrepreneur has already reckoned with having risk all around them all the time. The second one, which is in your essay, though not necessarily in my column, but it was kind of implied, was that the payoff to that risk is freedom, that you have more freedom to do what you shall with your life, to build what you want, because you've taken on that risk. Talk to me a little bit more about how you recognized those two things, those two core elements to an entrepreneur, and how people should think about that now in a time in which they may have freedom, but they may not appreciate it every day.
Yeah, it's the freedom can be terrifying in its own way. You got to go back to the original definition of the word entrepreneur. Before there was a magazine and a media company that you were running, you know, 1730, this Irish-French economist, Richard Cantillon, writes a book of essays that gets published 20 years later after he dies. And one of the chapters is about an entrepreneur. And it's really the first time it's defined in this context. And he says, an entrepreneur is anyone who works for unfixed wages, whether they're the wealthy merchant and the landowner or the beggar in the street. They bear the risk of those unfixed wages, but they have the freedom to do with the work whatever they want. Whether you are someone just scraping by selling tamales at the side of the road in Los Angeles, or next to that, Elon Musk, who owns the rocket factory, those are the two truths that you have, that no matter what your business is, whether you're a solo independent freelancer like myself, or whether you start and run a company that has hundreds of thousands of employees, investors, is listed on the public markets, freedom and risk are the two truths that define your life, not even career, but your life as an entrepreneur. The freedom is the thing that draws people into entrepreneurship, the freedom to start a business, to pursue an idea, to do the work that they want to do in the way that they feel that only they can do that, without anyone telling them yes or no, without having to ask permission from Jeff in accounting. And the risk is the cost of that. It's the financial risk, which we're obviously seeing the consequences of right now, as well as all the other risks that are associated with that. The risk to one's ego, the risk to your family and your relationships as your identity gets tied into that, the risk to your physical and mental health as you deal with the stresses and the burdens of that risk. But ultimately, when I've interviewed entrepreneurs and spoken to them, it's the freedom that gets them into it. It's the freedom that keeps them in it. It's the freedom that drives them, because when times are good, when times are bad, it's the one thing they're guaranteed, the freedom to act, the freedom to do the work that they feel they need to do. And so in this context of all the entrepreneurs I've been speaking with, they're free to act. If their business is untenable and they can't do what they're doing, they're free to come up with something else and start acting on it tomorrow, yesterday. They don't have to ask permission. They don't have to find someone in budget to tell them to do it. They don't have to sit there waiting to see whether they're going to get downsized or not. They've gone and acted. And I see this with friends of mine who've moved their children's preschool singing classes and yoga classes online within the first week. Restaurants I know that pivoted not just to takeout, but like providing entire meal kits and sending bar service to people's houses. Entrepreneurs are being innovative in all sorts of ways because they are used to that. They're used to just having an idea and taking action upon it, acting upon the inherent freedom that they all have. And so that's what I was talking about when I wrote that essay, is that in a time like this, money is not going to be available. Capital is not available. The markets that we're used to serving our customers may not be available. The normal course of business is disrupted. What do we have? We have the risk, and we're seeing that, and we have the freedom to act on it. And I think a big part of that risk is not acting on that freedom.
Yeah, so it's really interesting the way that you're framing it, because you just talked about freedom in a number of different ways. There is freedom as the lure in, there's freedom as the payoff for the risk. But what was built into your answer there was that the freedom is also the solution. That when we are facing these challenges, as we all are now, as businesses are having to shift and scrap to survive, that freedom, the freedom to come up with something new, to execute it on the fly, to do basically whatever it is that comes to your mind that seems like a good idea, is the solution as well, is where entrepreneurs need to be living in order to get through this.
Right. Because it is, again, that essential truth that separates us from everyone else. And that's regardless of who you are as an entrepreneur and what you're able to do, the size of your business, the amount of money you have in your bank account, you have that freedom to act. You've always had it. And in a time like this, that's the only thing that is going to get you moving forward. I remember hearing, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago when the book came out, and I published an op-ed in the Globe and Mail, which is the sort of Canadian national newspaper because I live in Canada. And it was talking about the crisis for small businesses and entrepreneurs here. And I heard from someone who owned a small business, a marketing company, dealt sports marketing. So all his business was sort of gone. He was complaining about the government bailouts and the government wouldn't give him enough money. And, it, you know, they gave him something, but it wasn't enough. And I remember writing back to him and, you know, I'm very sorry about what's happening. It's terrible. I feel bad for you. There's a lot of people who are struggling. I'm struggling. Half my work, half my money or more comes from speaking. So that's just gone. But as an entrepreneur, you can't. There's no one that's going to come and save you. You hope that your government and a social safety net will help provide for you and keep you from being destitute, but no one is going to come and ride to your salvation. It's always been up to us. That's why you chose this life, to go out on your own, to be the sort of lone Ronin samurai. You know, you freed your lance, so to speak. And so we are a self-reliant people, entrepreneurs. That's why it draws us into it. That's why you see immigrants who become entrepreneurs in greater numbers than the general population, because they know they have to rely on themselves.
Huh. That's a great point. I knew the statistics about immigrants, but I hadn't actually thought about that connection. David, your book is called The Soul of an Entrepreneur. I assume that this conversation that we're having now is kind of circling the soul of an entrepreneur. But what do you mean by the phrase the soul of an entrepreneur? And what you wrote the book, obviously, in pre-coronavirus times. It came out in the middle of a global pandemic.
Just at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Great time to release a book. What about the soul of an entrepreneur should entrepreneurs know about to help carry them through a crisis?
Well, yeah, the book was really inward-looking journey at what it means to be an entrepreneur and work for yourself. There's so many books about entrepreneurs out there, as you obviously know.
Yep.
Tons of articles, podcasts, content. And most of it, the vast majority, focuses on how to be an entrepreneur, how to start a business, how to grow a business, how to go from this much money to this much money, how to scale, how to do X, Y, Z. And that's great. That's necessary, useful, practical information. What I wanted to do is explore what it means to be an entrepreneur, what it feels like to be an entrepreneur, why become an entrepreneur, why do it. And the soul of an entrepreneur is really a shorthand for that larger question of that deeper meaning of being an entrepreneur, why each of us does it. And in a time like this, that deeper meaning, that sense of values, the thing that pulled us in, each one of us into this to pursue that freedom, is the thing that's going to get us through it. Because all of us have become entrepreneurs and continue working and living as entrepreneurs for different reasons, reasons that speak to us very personally. That's very much relates to our soul. And when times are tough, that is the thing that we have to turn back to as we struggle, as we work to figure out how to survive, how to move on, how to come up with new ideas in order to make our business relevant and alive for the next while. And it's not going to be about money. It's not going to be about, well, I'm in it to grow it and sell this thing. That is not something that anyone is really thinking about now. So what we need to think about, what every entrepreneur needs to check in with themselves and think about, is why do I do this? Why did I start doing this in the first place? Was it because I wanted to build something in my community? Was it because I wanted to create a business that allowed me to live a lifestyle where I could spend more time with my kids? By the way, I'm spending a lot of time with my kids. So
oh, me
check
too.
Mark. Yeah. I need the opposite of that. Is it because I want to help people grow to their potential and build up a community of entrepreneurs through the values that I have? Whatever that is, that's the thing you have to check in with right now. There's so much glamorization and romanticization around entrepreneurship. And a lot of that is based upon glorifying the super successes. Oh, look at what Elon Musk did. I want to be the next Elon Musk. My hero is Steve Jobs. You know, let's read another article about someone who started an app at 25 and made $1 billion. That's what I want to do. That's not a reason. That's not a why. That's a desire. That's celebrity worship. What is the thing that you wake up for every day as an entrepreneur and gets you out of bed and gets you to face those risks head on, even in the best of times, let alone this horrible situation we're living in. Those are the reasons that you have to remember and stand fast to. That's the essence of your entrepreneurial soul. And it's where you're going to draw your strength from and your meaning from. And it's going to allow you to weather those risks and recall what that freedom that you have is and how best to use it. That's not practical do X, Y, and Z advice, but I think it's advice that every entrepreneur right now could use, because the crisis that we're facing is far more than a financial one. It's one that's very much attacking the sort of core of our confidence and our identity.
Yeah, I totally agree. And as a kind of final thought, I'd love to hear what you think about this. So in the pre-coronavirus times, the last couple of years, as people have asked me in interviews, where do I see this entrepreneurial spirit coming from? Such a boom in entrepreneurship. There's a shift in culture where the word entrepreneur is now not just a kind of weird and hard to spell description of some kind of career path, but is in fact a mentality and a culture and a badge of honor. Where did that come from? And my hypothesis has always been that it came out of the recession in 2008, that there was a generation of people who either were coming into the workforce or were younger and seeing their siblings and parents and maybe grandparents struggling in the workforce as there were all these layoffs. And it taught these people that nobody would take care of them but them, that they could not go out into a career and rely upon some company to be around and to care about them for any kind of extended period of time, and that if they wanted true control, then the only way to do that was to take control of themselves. And that is where it came from. That's been my hypothesis. Mm-hmm. So now here we are in this new moment, a moment that will make the recession seem like a
what an adorable little recession.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Was 10 years ago.
Right, right.
Yeah, so cute.
Right. It's a funny little confusing blip about housing or something. And I think it is my hypothesis that this will have the same kind of impact, that people will come out of this with the same lesson, if not even talk to them stronger. And I wonder what you have either seen in the people that you've talked to since this has set in, or maybe people who you have met along the way in writing the book who built their businesses out of previous crises, and you know, what kind of patterns you're seeing of how people are responding to crisis and stepping up and learning from these times.
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that's really interesting, because in it holds this contradiction that was central to what I wrote about. The subtitle of the book, The Soul of an Entrepreneur, is Work and Life Beyond the Startup Myth. And you're right. Over the past decade, culturally, entrepreneurship has been booming and growing like never before. You're obviously on the front lines of this at Entrepreneur Magazine. And there was this perception that the millennials are this generation that were the most entrepreneurial of all. And culturally, that's been true. But when you look at the actual economic statistics, the opposite's true. Entrepreneurship is at a 40-year low. When you or I were born 40 years ago, there were twice the number of Americans who were starting businesses and working for themselves as there are now. The millennials are actually the least entrepreneurial generation in 100 years, the generation least likely to go out and work for themselves and start a business. And a lot of that has to do with complicated economic factors, the rise of monopolies and consolidation in every sort of industry, not just the tech sector. But what we know is this: in hard times, in times when there is high unemployment and a scarcity of jobs, people will be forced in many ways to turn to working for themselves for lack of a better option.
Necessity entrepreneurship. That's the economic term.
The necessity entrepreneurship, which is cast as a negative thing by economists. Oh, well, we don't want those necessity entrepreneurs. We want the bright young Stanford graduates who are opportunity entrepreneurs. But there's a hell of a lot of fantastic businesses out there in our communities, in our families, in the S&P 500. That were started out of necessity, that were started in tough times, and are now bedrocks of their communities, of the economy. There is always opportunity for entrepreneurs. There is opportunity in a crisis. There is opportunity in bad times. Will it look like the sexy venture-funded entrepreneurship that we've glamorized over the past decade? Probably not. And in a lot of ways, that's a good thing, right? It's not going to be the Elon Musk moment. It's not going to be demo days and getting up on stage and then someone writing you a check for $1 million because they liked your pitch. It's going to be that scrappy, bottoms up entrepreneurship that we recognize in immigrants, that we might recognize in the stories of our grandparents or our parents who built a business, made a dollar, fought another day, made another dollar, and here we are. That's the essence of entrepreneurship. That's just as true or truer than the myth of the golden startup and the billion-dollar unicorn, which was a fantasy in a lot of ways that we all bought into. And so I think what we're going to see is a reset in a lot of ways of that entrepreneurial spirit, not just the United States, but around the world. And a lot of that's going to be driven by necessity. And a lot of that's just going to be driven by what's going to work now. And what's going to work is, in many ways, business as it was usually done before this. So it's a very difficult, trying time for entrepreneurs of every stripe. But I think there's the possibility that we can actually reclaim entrepreneurship for a far greater number and far greater diversity of entrepreneurs, women, minorities, immigrants, people in rural areas who've been left out of that sexy Silicon Valley style narrative, and really reclaiming what it means to be an entrepreneur.
So that was our conversation. Again, one more time, David Sachs's book is called The Soul of an Entrepreneur. And as he says, you have risk and you have freedom. And now, go take advantage of both.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.